thank you for picking out those songs, and I know some picked their favorite song, some picked their favorite of a loved one. So that was a good thing. And so we're glad for the praises to God. Zephaniah is a minor prophet, three chapters worth. He really attacks sin of God's people for three and a half chapters, half chapter promises God's rescue for us. So if you feel like, well, most of my life, you know, is pretty much shot to lunch and not close to God at all, you're not going to be the first one who God came to rescue. He rescued people in that boat many a time. So put your trust in him today if you would. And moving through the Old Testament, Zechariah is coming the day of Palm Sunday, which I didn't plan that, but that was nice because Zechariah talks about Jesus riding in to Jerusalem on a donkey. And that happens to fit with our sermon bunch over here. So, the sins Zechariah mentions and God confronts the people with are sins against Jerusalem, standing for the whole people, standing for you and me. So we got to put our name in the verse, as much as we don't like to do that. We put our name in the verse in the good verses, for God so loved you, gave his only son. We put our name in the verses of correction. Okay, so put your name in the verse, and we'll try to do that and see what God has to say to us. Remember, 2 Corinthians 13 says, let a man examine himself. We do that when we open God's word. Examine yourself before God. It doesn't say, let a man examine his neighbor. Let a man examine his brother and sister in Christ. Let a man examine his church. We're pretty good at doing that. But let a man examine himself. So we'll always have something to do if we put ourselves before a holy and loving God. And so these are the sins that God confronts Jerusalem with. They're very broken. They've gone astray. Their heart's broken. They have broken God's laws and promises to him and so forth. But our sin problem in Zephaniah is as follows, just out of verse 2. That would be, we just put our name in there again. You and I obey no one that is the Lord himself. You and I accept no correction. You and I do not trust in the Lord. You and I do not draw near to God. That's the sin trending of our nature. Okay, that's not a sum total of who we are, but that's our nature. That's our natural bent away from God. Even as a Christian, you're going to have that nature in you. It's not going to go away until you go to heaven. So God is bigger than your nature. That's good. He helps us. But we first recognize the problem. And so, moving over to looking at these in God's presence, we obey no one. These would be sins of omission, what we did not do. God says, do this, and we don't do it. These are the bigger sins in my life, I think, failing to do the right. You know, avoiding the wrong, that's pretty easy. All I have to do is stay under the covers in my bed and pull them up over my head. I'm avoiding all wrong, you know. But failing to do the right, go and love, pray, seek the Lord, serve one another, worship the Lord your God and him only. So failing to do what's right is a sin we want to repent from. Beware of neglect at that point. It's a sin of neglect, not obeying God. I neglected prayer. He says, talk to me, and I didn't pray. Neglected his Bible. I neglected church. Neglected love. I was a great dad and a great husband. I did no harm to my wife or children. That's not a Bible standard. Bible standard is you do the right, you show the love, you connect, and you give your life in service to others. So we want to repent of that. You and I accept no correction. That's sins of commission, things we do against God, words that tear down pride and selfishness that get in the way of our relationship. Even when we face the Lord at the end, you know, we got to see where we're at. The old song, St. Peter, don't you call me because I can't go. I owe my soul to my big old self. Well, it could have been a company store, but not any of us are too excited about the company store anymore. But we do have in the way of the big old self. So we want to say, we accept correction from the Lord, but do that readily and on a regular basis. Some think that, you know, repentance is only for the struggling Christian. Repentance is for all believers. And remember, God said, if anybody says they don't have any sin, they're lying. The truth is not in them. And so to say, oh, repentance is a daily part of my walk with God. I'm always making that adjustment. You know, if you're a good ball team, you know, they say at the end of the first quarter, I wonder if they're going to make those adjustments they need to do the right thing. Halftime, everybody makes adjustments at the halftime, or else you're going to get slaughtered. As a believer, ask God to help you change. That's the repentance thing. And even if we pray at least, Lord, I repent, help my unrepentance. God will help us. And then our trend is you and I don't trust the Lord. We don't draw near to God. We would have to do that by faith, by trusting Him. Some helpful verses on faith that I found. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So my trust, our trust in God is with all our heart. Not half in God. I trust half in God and half in me. The second half of that trust is a waste. Why would you trust in a sinner? I'm going to fall flat on my face if I trust half in me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. God does that for us. And then goodness comes from God, or righteousness by faith. Romans 1. Righteousness from God, that's a big deal, is by faith from first to last. So I trust God when I first meet Him. Lord, be my Savior. I trust God 40 years from that time. Lord, I'm trusting You. It's a little bit harder to follow You now. Trust God when you're going to say goodbye to this world. From faith. From first to last. Faith is greater than any religious practice, because faith has to do with our soul's trust in God. Galatians 5 lets us know that religious practices without faith count for zero. Okay, doesn't matter how many times the, again, outward things, church, Bible, pray, but if my trust is not in God, it doesn't count for anything. Of course, if I trust God, I'm going to do Bible, church, and pray. But I do it because I love the Lord. Paul said, nothing counts except faith. And how does faith work? Faith working through love. Sometimes we think of faith as something, you know, I'm really going to believe God's going to do something great. That's faith. You should see how much I trust God. Really, faith is not the size of what you think God will do. Faith is saying, I trust God and I'm going to express love back to Him and people. So if you have a lot of faith, you'll have a lot of love. It's also good to connect faith, or rather, love, which is how faith works, and obedience. I find in my own life, maybe you've found this, I often associate love with something not so important. It's rather, you know, barely important in the Christian life. But obedience, you know, that's where it's really at. And I associate obedience with gritting my teeth, doing things that are hard, and kind of having a frown on my face and saying, I'm obedient, you know, I hope you are too. Now, connect your obedience to love. Okay? Because Jesus said that's the best way to obey God. If you love me, keep my commandments, and he who obeys me will show my love. So that good connection there, that's a part of trusting the Lord and drawing near to God. And the people are in dire straits, you know, they're very broken. But Zephaniah gives them the good news right in the middle of chapter 3. And it's interesting, it's great how God puts himself in the middle of all their problems. I mean, he sees us, you know, with an obedience, correction, drawing near, trust problem. And he comes right in, he says this, I will speak to the city. I will speak to God's people. So he doesn't turn away from us. And there's a bunch of I wills in chapter 3. And guess who the I is? It's not us. Thank the Lord. It's God. It's God. Because when salvation comes and a great move of God comes, God says, I will. I will. And verse 7, he says, I will speak to the city and surely you will fear me. People would say, God's God, we've got to trust him. Verse 8, I will stand up to testify. God gives the good news. Verse 8, I will assemble the nations. Verse 9, I will purify. We can't even get ourselves clean. God says, let me clean you. Some of you have been in a hospital, you know, you can't clean yourself. You got two broken legs and a broken arm. And so let me clean for you. God does that for us. So that we might serve shoulder to shoulder. Love that picture of God reviving his people. All of a sudden, it's like, I'll work with anybody. You know, if you're a brother in Christ, I'll work with you. Sister in Christ, I'll work with you. Shoulder to shoulder. That's the way it'll be in heaven, and it can be that way on earth. I will remove the prideful. God says that. Verse 11. I will leave within you the meek and humble, those who trust in the Lord. So it's God to the rescue. Makes us look like his children again. And God does this for us, you know. Seeing Jesus dying in creation, that song Sarah sang. Well, I saw him in the Bible. I saw him in the church. And then I saw him just around me in creation, even in the mirror. That was like, in the mirror. In the mirror. Where God would be working in our soul. We used to belong to no one. Now we're God's child. He does this for us. You didn't get yourself born. And you didn't get yourself born again. Right? You said, I think I need resurrected. And God came and had to be born again. I am united with Christ. That's what God does for us with the Lord. We're one in the Spirit with him. In the context of 1 Corinthians 6, Paul's saying, hey, don't be sleeping around with, you know, all the immoral folk, or with sleeping around with anybody for that matter, because you're kind of one with them when you do. And he said, hey, instead, you're one with the Lord. You're close to him like that. And then we have God's Spirit. He gives that to us. We've been forgiven all our sins. That's a gift no other Savior can do for us. And then we are complete in Christ. The word complete is the same word Jesus used on the cross when he says, it is finished. So in a way, when we say, I trust you, Lord, we say, I have peace with God. And that settles it. Now I belong to him all the days of my life. And God, so gracious, you know, he steps forward in Zephaniah. He said he's going to sing over us. How many, I don't say that to last, but he pretty much does this for his people throughout the Bible. In order to give us salvation and move us in life, God makes a covenant with God. He made some promises to people and said, okay, people say, I'll do that, Lord, I'll do that. Covenant is a both-way thing, you know. I'll do this if you do that. Okay. And every time God made a covenant with people, guess what? We broke it every time. So God said, I'm going to have to make a new covenant. I promise myself I'm going to save these folks. I promise myself I'm going to give my son. I promise myself I'm coming back. Okay. And God makes a promise to himself, which he always keeps. And we get to say, I believe he would do that. I believe him. I trust him. That covenant helps me follow him because I know all the greatness that he has. And he even says, you know, boy, God would delight over us and sing over us. Sometimes we sing the song, I will sing of your love forever. And you have to ask yourself the question, is God going to delight in these people here? We just said, you know, that they were this way and that way and this way and all the wrong things. And he says, but you know what? I'm coming. And because I'm coming, and you're going to belong to me. I will delight in you, rejoice over you, and sing. And make a little list when you go home. How many people delighted in you this week? You know, maybe somebody in your family, if they were having a good week. They said, "Oh, thank you. You're fantastic." You know, maybe your brother and sister in Christ. Maybe your boss. No. Yeah, maybe your boss delighted in you this week. But guess who definitely delighted in you? God delighted in you. He says, I'm going to rescue you. And you're going to see how great God is. And so we're thankful for God singing over us. Might we draw near to him? You know, that's his covenant table. He makes a promise to himself. He did give his son on the cross. He gave us that bread and that wine to say, remember everything I did. And God says, oh, by the way, I'm not relying on anything you're going to do. But you can have me if you want to. And we could want to. And so we'll pray and ask God's closeness to us. Lord, thank you that new life is in you. And we are glad to belong to you. Please draw near to us around your table, trusting in you, not in ourselves. Dear Jesus, we ask for your comfort to be with people who recently lost loved ones. You're the resurrection and the life for all these dear family members, Lord. So we pray for your peace and strength. Continue to be with the Bittner family, the Derry family, remembering Paula. And we strength and comfort for Kevin and Bria Craycraft, their family, remembering Kevin's sister, Kelly, for love and strength to be with Charles Stanley, remembering his sister, Nora. Your help for people in and out of the hospital recently. Need your physical strength, Lord. Carolyn Azevedo and Marty Smith. And good news in the future for Barbara Bradley. Help for Jim and Sharon Kendall as they share good news. They head for Blairsville again and Indonesia off and on as they would want to, and for grace for Rachel Wilson, Father, for help for many refugees to hear good news and have daily bread and shelter. Lord, so many needs, but we can walk with you, talk with you about them all the time. Hear our silent prayers as we say thank you for you, thank you for the bread given, the cup given, the forgiveness of sins. Hear our silent prayers.